going to let this down too. You won't even see me, will you? That might look better. Right. Good morning, everybody. Not just all of you, but those who are online as well. I'll just explain for those who don't know. My name is Frances, and I'm actually on the leadership team here at Thornhill Baptist Church. But this is the first time I've done this. And what we're looking at today is Jesus alongside us. I'm looking at it from the angle that Jesus really knows us individually. He knows all about us. He knows about our physical state. He knows about our mental state. He knows about our emotional state. He knows about our spiritual state. And he just contacts each of us in that individual way. Many years ago, I was a nurse, and I was working in a big London hospital, and we often had to do night duty. And during the night, there was a ritual where the night sister, who's in charge of the whole hospital, actually comes round to your ward, and the senior nurse, which was often me, had to go round with her to every single one of those 30 patients. We had to know their name, we had to know their diagnosis, we had to know what treatment they were on, we had to be able to answer any question that the sister asked us about them. And it all had to be in our head. We hadn't got smartphones or any other mechanical, technical means of actually contacting the information. It had to be all up here. And in a much, much bigger way, God knows us so individually. In the hospital, the doctors were actually finding the right treatment for each patient's diagnosis. They had to come up with the right solution so that they could actually be physically healed. But with Jesus, of course, he knows us on a different sort of level, and he knows how to come alongside us in a way that we will recognize him. And what he's trying to do, of course, is to make us spiritually healthy again. And I just want to look at a few examples in the New Testament of people who actually met Jesus after the resurrection. Mary was absolutely in tears. She was so tied up in her grief. She didn't even see Jesus just standing beside her. He was there, he was alive. He was ready to calm her down and show her what had really happened, that he really was alive. But she didn't instantly see him. The minute she did, of course, she was so overcome by the fact that she'd actually met with him, that he'd understood why she was in tears, and that he was ready to meet her there and take her forward. And she was so excited that she just rushed off to tell the other disciples. She couldn't wait to just share what happened, that she'd actually met Jesus. The next thing we're going to do is just look at Thomas. Right, just realised I've got my head of my notes. And Thomas is also recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 20. This time we're looking down to verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came to see them. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, but believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God, you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." I think it's a shame that we always think of it as being doubting Thomas. But yes, he did doubt, but He really wanted to know the truth. He really wanted to be convinced that Jesus was alive. If he hadn't wanted to, he wouldn't have stuck around with the other disciples. But he stayed with them and waited for the chance to actually find out for himself what really did happen and that Jesus really was there for him. In a sense, I had a slight experience a little bit like this myself many years ago. I'd been brought up in a Baptist church. I'd been to Sunday school. My father was very involved in the church as a deacon and in many other areas in the church. And I'd started my nursing career. I was convinced I was a Christian, but I moved in with three other Christians and they were far different to me. Their Christian faith really meant something. They were really aware of Jesus alongside them every day. They talked about it, they prayed about it, they shared about it. And I just thought, if only I could have this same feeling. And so I actually spent a week with what was then called a Baptist summer school. I don't even know if they still run them. But I spent a week there with other people who were searching for a deeper understanding of their faith to draw closer to Jesus. And as the week went on, I kept feeling, I nearly understand, but there's something still missing. And so one night, I knelt down on my bed, and I just opened my Bible, and I opened it at John's Gospel, I opened it at chapter 14. And the first thing I read were the words, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And I went, oh, right. So I read the rest of the chapter, and the next chapter, and the next chapter. And as I came to the end of chapter 16, there were some more words that actually really did hit me. Just a simple phrase. I felt Jesus saying it to me. It said, "Do you now believe?" And I went, oh. And I went, yes, Lord, I do believe. And the minute I'd said that, it was though something completely changed in me. I was absolutely sure that Jesus was alongside me. And it changed everything. So there's two different ways of God approaching us. With Mary, it was through her emotions. With Thomas, it's with his real search for the truth, having been in doubt. The next ones I was going to look at was the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I'm going to get Judy to actually read that bit for me. It's in Luke this time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, starting at verse 13. We'll just see what happened with them, because this was on a different level again.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you two disciples discussing as you walk together?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
With these two disciples, they were very familiar with their scriptures. They knew about it, they were discussing it as they walked along. They should have understood what had happened, but they didn't. They were really puzzled. Although they'd been reading it, they'd read the prophets, they understood, thought they understood what the prophets were saying, but they'd missed the point. And then Jesus came alongside them and chatted to them. They didn't realise it was him, but he was explaining all these things that had so far mystified them. And eventually, as we just read, when they got to their house, he stayed with them and had a meal with them, and at that point they recognised him. And I wonder sometimes whether we have got familiar with our Bibles. We do read things, and we don't necessarily really listen to what God means by them, what we're reading. We may have been a Christian for a long time, maybe 70 years even, like me. But God still has new things to say to us. We need to stay open to what he's really saying to each one of us. We need to recognise that Jesus is alongside us, and he's there to help us on our spiritual journey, to bring us back close to God, so that we can really be living properly for him. And with these two, as with Mary, they were so excited. They'd just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem. And yet now, they were so overwhelmed by what happened that they'd actually been with Jesus, he explained everything, and they could now believe it all. Instead of going to bed, which was night time, they went out again. They walked back 7 miles they'd just come because they were so excited. They needed to share it. They needed to talk about it. And so they went straight back and told them. And I think in the same way, we need to learn to really listen. And if we listen and really hear what God's saying, then we need to actually act on what he's said, not just leave it there. So I'd like to look at some of the disciples, and in particular Peter. So if we turn back to John's Gospel again. Chapter 24. Starting at verse 13. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong one, haven't I? Sorry. No, we're back to chapter 21, aren't we? Thank you for correcting me. Chapter 21 in John's Gospel. No, it's quite right. So, we're on the right page now. Thank you.
Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul. whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Thank you.
Well, you know already, if you read a bit prior to all this, that these disciples had actually already met Jesus since he was raised from the dead. And yet there they were, gone back to their fishing. And this was the second time they'd run away in a short space of time. When they were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, when he was arrested, instead of going with him, they ran off because they were so scared. They didn't want to get involved at that point. The only one who stayed with them at all was Peter, and he only followed from a distance. And now they've run away again, despite the fact they know Jesus is alive. I think they were actually afraid of the authorities who are now going around rounding up the people who actually believed in Jesus. They didn't want them going around spreading this story that Jesus was alive. And so they run off and come back to their fishing. So Jesus turned up on the shore for the second time. 3 years earlier, he'd been on that shore calling these disciples to come and join him. And they had. This time, he's gone back to the shore to get them back from their fishing again. Because this time, he wants them to actually do something. He really trusts him, even if it is going to be difficult. They really need to actually understand that they have a job to do because Jesus is not physically going to be around much longer. And I think sometimes with us too, we need to actually realise God is with us in our daily life. No matter what the actual thing is, whether it's an actual paid job or whatever our responsibilities are, we have to recognise Jesus with us and that he's there to actually encourage us to actually do something. And with Peter in particular, he actually had denied Jesus. He denied him 3 times. And in this story we just read, Jesus gave him the opportunity to actually say that he really did Jesus, he loved him, and he gave him the opportunity to do it 3 times to make up for the times he denied him. Well, we may not go around denying Jesus, but do we just remain silent? Do we actually not speak up for Jesus at all? Do we just get on with our own lives and ignore the fact that other people need to know? Do we need to actually meet him again and realise he's there? And actually be excited by it and want to go and tell people about it. I can see in some sense why the disciples were a bit anxious, because sometimes God asks us to do things rather unexpectedly, rather scarily. A few years ago, I was involved in a drama club, and we were putting on a production of Godspell. And the director had very strong ideas, didn't like being crossed, and yet I knew that the man playing Jesus was actually quite unhappy about how he was being told to play Jesus. And I just had this sense that Jesus was there beside me, saying to me, "You need to speak up. You might be scared of this director, but I want you to speak up. Otherwise, the whole audience are going to get totally the wrong impression about Jesus." So I did. I went and talked to him. I confronted him with what he was doing and what I felt he should be doing. And somehow he actually realised there was a greater authority behind what I was saying. It wasn't just me and my words. was something bigger behind what I was saying. And he backed down. And he changed the way he was going to get Jesus portrayed. And he went along with exactly what I said should be happening. And so you never know. I didn't expect that to happen. But if we're in tune with God, if we recognise that Jesus is alongside us, if we listen to what he's saying and are prepared to act on it, amazing things can happen. And I think during the course of looking at these four different people in the New Testament, we've realised that sometimes Jesus comes alongside us in an emotional situation, and we have to be prepared to accept Jesus on an emotional level. Or sometimes we're full of doubts. We all have doubts. We all sometimes feel that we've actually strayed away, like the disciples did, going back to fishing. Sometimes we just get worried about it, decide it isn't so important after all, and we back down from actually being active. Because we need to actually think on these things, act on these things, and maybe talk them through with somebody. Thank you.